The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Pregnant ladies and little kids better get the hell out of the way because I am running. I'm like Forrest Gump, dude. I am running. So the Titanic was the biggest ship on the ocean, but that didn't mean it was unsinkable. All right.
I want you each to use ombudsman in a sentence next week.
I got one for you. My name is Kevin, the official ombudsman of the Just Press Play podcast. You like apples?
Welcome into another edition of the Just Press Play podcast. Kevin here, joined with the full crew. We got LJ, Pops, Uncle Tony. The playoffs are here, boys. What's up?
What up?
What's up?
All right.
LJ, the Broncos are what seed in the playoffs?
2025?
Correct. We got a lot to talk about. The regular season is over. There are some coaching jobs open now in the NFL. We might rank best worst coaching jobs open. Maybe speculations about a coach that is still technically with this team in New England, but maybe not for long. We'll get on all that. But I do, LJ, we have done this in a while, okay. And this isn't just for you to answer, but I need someone to
explain. We know where our bread's buttered here, yeah.
We do know where our bread is buttered. I need to know, explain it to Kevin, how do noise cancellation headphones work?
I can tell you everything about this.
Because I have these in-ear earbuds,
yeah.
And you can hold them down, mm-hmm. And it goes to not noise cancellation, and you hold it down, it goes back to noise cancellation. And sometimes if you take one out while it's noise cancellation and there's no music playing, I think it's giving me some noise. I don't know. How does it work? How does this work?
Exactly what happens is sound is a pressure wave. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So you can cancel out a pressure wave by having the inverse pressure wave. So where there's high pressure, put low pressure. Where there's low pressure, put high pressure. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Starting to get a little too smart for
Like a wave in the ocean, right? I guess if you send a big wave against a big wave, they cancel each other out.
Yeah, and then exactly. Or if they're at the right amplitude against each other, they can build on each other and make giant tsunamis, right? So it depends on what the phase is of these waves.
Let's assume middle school education here.
Okay.
which means we're not talking to Kevin anymore.
We're talking to the rest of us. I can do elementary school for Kevin. Okay. So, so your headphones have a microphone in them and they send the opposite of the sound you're hearing outside of the headphones into your ears. And so what your eardrum gets is the combination of the sound and the opposite sound. So it makes that sound go away. That sound turns into nothing. Does that make sense?
They're bizarro earbuds, right?
Yeah. Now, realistically, what you would be hearing if there wasn't the outside sound
would be
Yeah, I got it too. Okay. I know bizarro. but I know because of Seinfeld. If you were just listening to the phase shifted canceling, then it would sound like the sound that you're hearing, but it's the combination of the phase shift that makes them go into essentially nothing. Does that make any sense?
I think so.
A little bit.
I mean, I'm a little, up in the clouds. I'm getting a little lost in part of it, but it fascinates me with these headphones when I'm like, man, I'm really because then I was messing around with it with no music on, just turning it on and off, and it does kind of. I can still hear a little, but much less.
Yeah, one of the things I want to actually look into is there. So to make the opposite sound wave, you have to put, you have to put loud noise. If a siren drives by me while I'm walking down the street, they're putting the opposite amplitude and everything of the siren that I'm passing. So I'm wanting to learn my ears hearing both of these sounds and then just canceling them? Or is there a null signal hitting me? Because it could be damaging to the ears to have that siren happening twice and you just can't tell it's playing because your brain cancels it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's what I want to start researching. I thought about this 2 days ago.
Okay, so for the listener out there, we're now, I don't know, 3-ish, 4 minutes in. If at some point, maybe your first time here, and you're like, well, they're a little above where I'm trying to think. Don't worry, we're only getting dumber from here. We're only getting dumber from this point on. So get ready. So here come the Just Friends Playboys.
Can I explain this to you? So
yeah, please.
With your background. Yeah.
We've noticed your background.
He's still celebrating champions for the people. Those deafening fantasy football.
Yeah,
a fake sport.
Those deafening earbuds are great for not having to listen to RuPaul's Drag Race while your wife is watching it on TV, and you want to look at football statistics. So I can tell you that's what you sound deafening earpods for, is so you can turn out RuPaul.
Good.
There you go. Okay. Not that there's anything wrong with RuPaul.
So then I like wife, it. But. So wife can watch what she wants to watch. Because, I mean, I feel that wife spends a lot of time letting you watch what the hell you want to watch on Saturday and Sunday when football's on. So I think you could sacrifice whatever. I think RuPaul's, 30 minutes or an hour episode? Yep. So
an hour long, yep.
You can't watch enough RuPaul to make that up, Tony.
I have watched a lot of Saturday morning RuPaul.
It depends, Pops. I've been over to the Green Residence, and it depends if we're counting that football's on every TV in the house, because it's on. If you step into a room, you'll probably get at least one or two squares that'll be a football game on.
We're watching 48 hours of football every Sunday.
I love it. Okay. Speaking of football, let's talk about some. So I want to start here with, there's a lot we could do from week 18, but I want to go first to that Bills Dolphins game on Sunday night. And I felt like you got the perfect microcosm of what the Bills season is.
Good word.
Josh Allen is a freaking roller coaster. Like when it's good, boy, it's good. But keep your hands and feet in at all time, because this thing could get a little bumpy. And he threw the two interceptions both in the end zone. He had the fumble where he was like, he saw Christian Wilkins running right at him and decided, I'm about to shake this guy, and he didn't. But then later in the game, when they needed a first down, like 3rd and 13, he just put on a Superman cape and ran it and ran over like three defensive backs to get the first down that seals the game. And it's just,
well, what was it? There was that like 4th and goal where he like hit a player in the helmet and it popped straight up into the air in the perfect place for his guy to catch it. Yeah. Like part of me doesn't think that that's an accident. Like there's a piece of me that thinks he knew what he was doing there.
Watching that game is like, I'm like, this is why, like there's moments where I'm like, this is why the Bills could get to the Super Bowl. And then, like, a couple plays later, I'm like, this is also why the Bills could lose next week.
In the wild card round,
At home against the Pittsburgh Steelers in the wild card round. Mm-hmm. Because they're just he could be a flamethrower and just kill you, but he could also kill his own team and then light a fire. Like, Tony, what did you think about that game? If you want to talk more Bills or if you want to go towards the Dolphins. And
both teams are in the playoffs. And I kind of wonder at what point. It just seemed like to me, watching that in the fourth quarter, that Miami kind of did the resignation of, well, shit, we're the wild card. And because I just didn't see that much additional effort.
Their offense got just locked up in the second
half. And there are a lot of things working against them right now. So Mostert was out. Waddle is out. Tyreek has got a bum ankle.
They lost both their pass rushers, Chubb and
Dylan Phillips. Which they might have fixed this week.
Yeah, we've got to talk about that.
What's that?
Well, they signed a couple of people.
Yeah, and so it's interesting. But, man, I tell you what, just the worst-case scenario for the Miami Dolphins. But it was just like it's kind of like watching the Arkansas Razorbacks in the second half of the game against Auburn. They just went, forget it. Well, why are we even here?
It wasn't quite that bad.
That's what I kind of think happened to Miami is they just kind of gave it up, said, yeah, we'll see you next week.
Well, and like you said, Tony, they're in the playoffs no matter what. But, Pops, if they win – they get to play against the Bills again, hosting them in Miami, and I believe 70-degree weather. But since they lost, they instead get to go to Kansas City, where as of right now, I think the game time temperature is expected to be around 1 degree with the wind chill in the negative like 10 to 15
degrees.
So, yes, they're in the playoffs, but there was something to play for. And I guarantee you those boys would much rather play in 70-degree Miami. They can't sit. Kansas City might run a play.
If they had the choice. So he wants to be in Kansas City.
I wanted to ask you, you talking about Josh Allen, does he remind you a little bit of Brett Favre? I mean,
yes.
Brett Favre, but with Josh Allen, or with like Lamar Jackson's running ability or something.
Yeah, with more running ability. But I mean, I think I don't see him winning a lot of Super Bowls because there's the good and the bad, but he'll win one. Because
you got to put four. He's that good. It's just, it's so, he can lose any game. And when you have four playoff games where you got to basically play close to perfect, it's going to be tough. And I was kind of looking. So since they fired Ken Dorsey, they went 6-1 and made the playoffs. But their offense actually hasn't gotten any better since Ken Dorsey, since they made the change. They've actually, in like the EPA and some of those offensive success rates has dropped a little. But they're running the ball better. And as Tony's talked about for weeks with James Cook. And then the defense is playing better. And Josh Allen is turning the ball over less. Even with that three turnover game he had the other night, right now is turning the ball over less. But just watching the game, you know. And I don't think you can change that, Tony. I think you can tell him, just like they did before the half, where Sean McDermott was upset going into half, where he's like, they threw the ball, they had no timeouts, and they were going to try to take one more shot at the end zone to kick a field goal. And Josh Allen threw it short of the end zone, and the guy gets tackled. And they asked McDermott what happened there. And he's plain and simple, he seemed pissed off, and he was like, you just can't throw that ball. You can't. We knew going into that, you can't throw it in the field of play. It's either in the end zone or you don't throw it, you throw it away. And so that's where I think you can preach and preach and preach to Josh Allen not to turn the ball over, but you just, that's not how Josh Allen is. He's reckless, and sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not.
I'll say this about Brett Favre, that comparison, because I thought the same thing, Liv. It is, Brett Favre was reckless, but it was reckless with a purpose. I think Josh Allen is kind of just reckless, period. And you can't fix stupid. And so that's just stupid. And, you know, I don't know what to say. I don't make that. That's poor decision making. When Brett Favre would do a pass and he'd get intercepted, like, what are you thinking? At least it had a purpose. You know what I mean? And you say, okay, yeah, I understand. He was trying to fit that window and it didn't work. Josh, I was like, there's no window to fit in here, man. Just throw it away. You're ahead. And
what reminds me, in the game they lost to the Eagles, where they had the Eagles beat and they're in their own side of the field and like third, like second down, he forces this ball into double coverage and gets picked off and like lets the Eagles, gives them life back in the game. It's just like, he just can't turn it off. It's him. That's how he plays all the time. And he's awesome. At times he looks like the scariest guy to defend. Cause also when he starts running, I mean, he's almost as scary running as like a Lamar Jackson, and then he can make some of those throws that we see Patrick Mahomes make.
You know,
I mean,
what?
It's crazy.
I'd say this. I think if you gave him a pair of scissors and some zip ties, he would still find a way to screw that up. I just don't think you can trust Josh Allen. I just don't think you can trust him.
So you wouldn't want to, as your football team's quarterback, Tony?
But,
I mean, who's your football team?
Who's my football team?
Kansas City. I mean, you're not replacing Mahomes, I guess. I don't know that I'd replace Dak Prescott, but I mean, not Josh Allen.
Dak Prescott for Josh Allen?
We're talking about Dak Prescott, who like continually makes the stupidest plays possible in the most important moments of his career.
Oh, LJ's on it. They are very much in the same mold.
I'd push back.
No, only in the important moments does he make terrible decisions.
Only where Josh Allen makes them every week.
Yeah, you know what you're getting with Josh Allen.
Josh Allen might make it in the second quarter with
Dak,
3 minutes left.
Dak, you wait until the NFC Championship game for him to just absolutely melt down on fourth and long.
There's some truth to what he's saying
there,
Kev.
It's kind of a tough situation.
I know, and then he's going to find the way to make it worse possible. That's what Dak does. He's really good at it.
A quick aside, you mentioned Josh Allen gives you Brett Favre, and that people have said that a lot about gunslinger. He reminds me of Brett Favre. I know people said about Romo at times. who do people say that about, like with Brett Favre? I'm asking the two elder
who
statesmen.
Who did they
here.
Say Brett Favre reminded them?
Who
of
do they like?
Who's
the guns? Yeah, who was the gunslinger before Brett Favre? Did Brett Favre kind of was the first
I,
one? That
I got a guess.
Stayed a starter.
Yes.
What?
Like Stabler, maybe? Right? Would you say Stabler, maybe, Tarkenton, Tony?
If you go way back.
I was going to say Tarkenton.
Tarkenton?
That's
what
I was
going to
say.
Yeah.
But, okay. Yeah.
Because the reason you don't see a ton of them, because you got to be really good to be able to make those mistakes and still be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, and I say this because I don't want anybody to take this as a homer thing, but.
Like Jameis Winston's a gunslinger, but he's not a good
one. No one's saying he's Brett Favre,
And we probably talk about him.
Yeah, Randall Cunningham, but Roger Staubach was the original gunslinger.
Yeah,
he was a gunslinger.
Because
he's
the first quarterback to really work from the shotgun since the 40s. So
He invented a play where you say a prayer right before you throw it. That's so. Right.
So, yeah, but Favre is true. It is a true gunslinger. I'll think of somebody else though.
He's probably the truest though. Him and maybe now Josh Allen, but Brett Favre is the canon, like the exemplar of what a gunslinger is. Like if you want to know what that is.
Modern era of the quarterback, Brett Favre said it as gunslinger. That's absolutely right.
Who was that? Was it Burt Jones at Indianapolis? Do you remember him? He was very talented, great arm, and he seemed like he had some gunslinger in him.
We're getting into like Jay Cutler territory, where Cutler was a gunslinger, but like he wasn't
Jake the Snake Plumber.
Yeah. Now wait, let's not besmirch his name.
Anyway, okay. Moving on a little.
Comeback King.
If I had to take out right now, you can't choose the Ravens and you can't choose the 49ers. Is it still? I think the Cowboys are probably the pick of most overall team they get to play at home, but I don't trust them. And they did what they're supposed to do against Commanders. They won big. How do you feel about the Cowboys right now? Going in, they'll play the Packers in Dallas on Sunday.
I mean, the Cowboys have a chance. There's no question. They've been able to be run on. I mean, that's shocking. You can really run on them.
Yeah.
Well, and it's because their linebackers, they've kind of went to this almost like safeties are playing linebacker, and then the linebackers that are there are just thinner. And so that I think the Cowboys, pretty much to win, they got to play from ahead.
They got to play in front.
And the Bills played in a way they don't usually, even though Tony's been saying for weeks now that the Bills are getting James Cook more involved. The Bills went to that Cowboys game and said, their weaknesses, we can pound the ball on them. We're just going to keep doing it. Even though it's fun with Josh Allen, we're just going to keep handing it off. And they just dominated. I think the Cowboys can get beat like that any given week. But it's just, can that offense get ahead? Can they get up by 7 or so to where you can't just play that ground and pound football? Because they don't stop the run. I'm totally with you. Their pass defense gets susceptible at times, but it's really that run defense that I don't trust.
So we're picking who wins the Super Bowl outside of the number one seeds? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'd say Dallas and Kansas City, I think, you know what? If I have to – yeah, I'm going to say Dallas again. I was going to say Buffalo because I don't know. They could go on a roll, and Josh Allen is that good. But I'll say Kansas City and Dallas if I have to not choose the two number one.
LJ, what you got?
I'm gonna for the AFC lean Buffalo because what you mentioned, they've lost some efficiency on the offense, but I think that's going to happen in 2023 when you start running the ball effectively. Like it's a passing time, so if you're not getting 14 yards per play, then like you're inefficient. I think the Bills might have some meat on that bone, and they're relatively healthy. NFC, I'm kind of honestly a little worried about the Lions still. I feel like the Lions are kind of a meaty team.
It was a bummer to see Sam LaPorta get hurt.
Yeah,
I don't think his ACL was torn, but it looks like he's probably out a few
bone
weeks.
Bone bruise and hyperextended is what they have.
I didn't mind them. Real quick on that, Tony, did you mind the Lions playing starters in that game?
Hell yeah, I did. That was stupid. That was absolutely stupid.
Got money on the Rams. You want that, right?
They played before the Cowboys and before the Eagles, and if both those teams lose, they become the 2 seed.
So the Eagles lost. But
yeah,
talk about that in a second. But okay, so here I'll answer your other question in a second. But you asked me this directly, so you look at.
Well,
the
I just
analytics.
Had a feeling you would have a strong
opinion. If you're
opinion.
Dan Campbell, and I get what he's trying to say. We play football. We come out. We're tough people. And that's ridiculous in the NFL because what are the odds? The odds of Dallas losing to Washington and Philadelphia.
For a second there, Washington was a little frisky in the second quarter, and Philly looked terrible.
If you looked at the analytics, and the NFL's all, the guy goes for fourth down more than anybody else. The analytics, for somebody's doing that, you've got to look at it and say, look, we don't. That's really not worth the risk of me putting Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam LaPorta, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, Jared Goff, Aiden Hutchinson at a injury that could take them out of the playoffs. And guess what? It fucking did. Sam LaPorta, who's one of his top two targets, it could be back.
He's had one of the best rookie tight end seasons ever.
But now it's probably not. It's stupid. Absolutely stupid. Didn't change a thing. LJ says he wants to retort.
LJ, I mean,
I'm going to hard disagree. Just from the aspect of if you've watched Peyton Manning play for the Colts, and every year it seemed like they were able to rest their starters for three whole fucking weeks, and then they'd go into the playoffs and look just like completely out of sync. I think, in the NFL, you need to be consistently hot. And so I understand the risk of injury, but like you've got to be playing your football game going into the playoffs, unless you got that bye. If you've got that bye, then like maybe you can hold off and like just trust that you're going to get it together in the 2 weeks of practices you essentially have. But if you're playing next week, you got to stay hot. So injury is a risk there. You're just going to have to take
that. Okay. LJ's right. You know, what can I say? He's right. But the thing is, I agree with that.
Well, that's a tough decision because I do think you need to, especially the way they lost last week, like get that taste out of your mouth and let's go win this game. And there's a chance we get to play in Detroit. If Dallas squanders this and Eagles squander, I get that the likelihood of both of them losing was very, very low. But on that same token, what Tony's saying, it could have been Jared Goff could have got hit funny. Amon-Ra could have tweaked his ankle.
Absolutely.
David Montgomery could have got a concussion. All of a sudden, maybe he's out. I mean, Pops, where are you at? Real quick, I want to get Pops. What are you?
I'm on LJ's side on this because if there is something to play for, you play to win the game. And they were playing for home field advantage in the second round, potentially. And who would have thought that Philly would have lost to?
Yeah, Eagles did end up losing. Like, the Cowboys were more likely to lose, in my opinion.
Me too. So I think you play them, and I hate the injury. I thought about that with the Cowboys when they were going into the fourth quarter, I think, and they were up quite a bit on Washington. It's like, pull them. And I might have pulled them a little quicker, but I don't know. I'm with LJ on this, and I think Dan Campbell, you play to win the game if there's something to gain.
No, Tony, last word. Finish this off on this conversation.
Whatever. Fuck you. You're right. I hate it.
You could have played it. Let them run. Do the pregame. Get to the first quarter. Get them revved up. Get them heated up. Get them in the rhythm and get them out. Second quarter max. Just get them out and you're done. And you can say, well, Tony, they could have got hurt in the first quarter. What's the difference? You might as well play them the whole game.
But it's less likely. It's a quarter of the likelihood.
I'm just saying.
So, Tony, if you had to choose one team that wasn't the Chiefs, I mean, not Chiefs, sorry. I'm out of trying to lead you anywhere.
Oh, one seed.
If you had to choose one team that wasn't the Ravens or the 49ers to win the Super Bowl, who would you choose?
The Rams and the Browns.
Whoa.
Wow. Well, I want to say, to tag on to that, I think the Texans-Brown game is something to watch this week. Because one of those teams, whoever wins that, is going to hurt some people.
So, you want to hear something interesting? Yeah. So, Tony, just real quick, and then I want to get your reasoning. Most of the choices we said, so I'm looking at MGM odds right now. The top two, 49ers and Ravens at 225 and 325. Then the Bills are 3, Cowboys 4. The Rams are way down below the Texans, below the Browns, below the Lions. I mean, the Rams are at plus 5,000. So... Talk to us. So, I mean, give us something 2 weeks here.
Ago. Anyway.
yeah, you did.
Did you put in a ticket?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, we talked about it on the air. He said Rams.
That's a juicy ticket right now. They could win this week. No, yeah, I might have just become a Rams fan.
Here's the thing. I think the Cowboys got a bad draw because of all the teams they could have played, I think the Packers are going to give them trouble. And here's why. The Cowboys, the Packers, their weakness is run defense, and the Cowboys can't run the football. And the Packers, Jordan Love has the most confidence of just about any other quarterback in the league other than Joe Flacco.
Jordan Love's playing really well.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're and humming. That offense is Aaron just humming. The floor's got them really
You
humming.
Can run against the Cowboys. Yeah. He can run and catch. They don't have what it takes to keep him from having 50-50. If you want to do a parlay.
In Christian Watson back? I mean, he's probably he's not. Could tear
but even without Christian, this is moment. The thing that makes them great. They do have Musgrave back. So they've got two Jayden really Reed's good tight awesome. Rookie oh, tight Musgrave. Ends, and this is the thing that could get them. Rookie tight ends, rookie wide receivers, but they're playing phenomenal.
They're super young.
They are really – if they get out to a lead, which we've all talked about, sometimes the Cowboys will kind of be asleep at the wheel – if they get in there and get a 7-0 lead or 10-3 or something, or they get smacked and get back, I think the Packers can give the Cowboys problems just because of that matchup. I know it's a 7-point spread, 7.5-point spread, something like that, but man, I think the Packers can do some damage here. And conversely, I think the Rams match up really well against Detroit, especially if all kidding aside, if LaPorta is not at 100% or out, that changes things for the Lions, and they kind of tilt. Sure. They certainly can run the football, but I don't know that I want to run the football against Aaron Donald in the playoffs. And so I think we've seen Jared Goff much better at home, but these are both indoor teams, and I don't think he has an advantage like he would on others. And so I think the Rams can come through because I think it's cleared for them. And they showed that they can beat the 49ers and because they played with them, and they played with them earlier. And they have that threat of they can run the football with Kyren Williams, the ball with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. And now with Robinson playing the best he's ever played in his 8-year career, these guys can play football. Watch out.
I also want to say that might be the most interesting storyline of the playoffs so far is the Stafford-Goff matchup in the Motor City. Like,
NFL, so they got Tyreek Hill going back to Kansas City. They got Stafford going back. They got the Packers coming to play Mike McCarthy. I mean, the NFL they are just licking their chops.
Flacco versus C.J. Stroud, which seems like a really interesting story to me, too. Like, the old guard and the
that Browns. That is like, a rookie, yeah.
Wow. The only game that doesn't matter story-wise.
The Browns were the team that got Deshaun Watson from the Texans.
Yeah, it's
Deshaun
Watson bowl and he's not even playing. So the only game that doesn't like matter storyline-wise is the Steelers and Bills. Everything else is really interesting.
Could be Tomlin's last game.
Yeah. Well, you want to know why it might be interesting is so correct me if I'm wrong. The Chiefs with Andy Reid and Mahomes have never won an away playoff game. I believe that's correct. And so something that might have to happen this year is they have to win an away playoff game to make it to the Super Bowl. Unless Tomlin goes on a fucking tear and makes it to the AFC Championship game. And then Kansas City gets to play at home for the entire playoffs.
I don't think the Steelers are going to.
I don't either. But
tear.
But Tomlin's Tomlin. You know, you never know with that fucker.
He got him to the playoffs. I mean,
yeah.
He did. With the fact Mason that they're Rudolph. Here is beyond my expectations immensely.
That's good.
So we just talked about how I guess our winner this week is the NFL just getting a great schedule for the playoffs. It worked out great for them. I think the loser this week, it's got to be unanimous. What the hell, Jaguars? They were 8-3, and I was over here putting in my top five and telling you how good the Jaguars were. And if you'd have told me at that point, you could have told me a lot of things, but if you'd have said they'd have lost the AFC South,
yeah,
I would have laughed you out of the building. They finished 9-8. Their only win in that stretch was when C.J. Beathard played, but it was because they're playing the Panthers, who stink. And then they go to the Titans, where the Titans are playing for nothing. Jaguars are playing for everything. And the Titans are just – they played harder and better. There was a text in
shout
the text
out
message
Vrabel.
That we have. Yeah, Mike Vrabel, who then gets fired from the Titans, and I think he's probably number one on probably a lot of teams' coaching candidates.
Did he get fired? Vrabel got fired?
He got fired, yes.
Yeah, not fired. Yeah, yes. Fired.
Wow.
So, and Tony, I think it was you, but we had in our text thread, there was the question asked, is Trevor Lawrence maybe not that good? What do you think, Tony?
I don't think he's not great. When he came out from Clemson, we thought this.
He's supposed to be like one of the best prospects we've ever seen.
He can run. He's big. He can be a pocket passer. He can be a Lamar Jackson. He could be a Josh Allen. He could be a Mahomes. He had all those things combined. He's not living up to it. I think he's a bust. I'm going to say he's a good quarterback. But he has yet to prove that he's a great quarterback because here was the perfect opportunity. Gutsy kid, don't get me wrong. I mean, he's played through some stuff, but he can't make the throw when he needs to make it. He's just not there.
So you think this is more of a Trevor Lawrence thing than a Doug Peterson thing? And coach?
That's what I'm wondering. How much of the blame goes on Doug Peterson?
Like if we're doing a pie here. You know, where are we giving Peterson? Where are we giving? And you don't have to put all Doug Peterson. You can say coach.
It is a conundrum.
If you want.
And I would put this out there.
wrapped up in an enigma.
So it is a conundrum, and I think I would put it out to you gentlemen. So you have two choices here. Is Doug Peterson a fraud because he got lucky with Nick Foles and won a Super Bowl?
The greatest quarterback of all time.
Or is Trevor Lawrence
option A
not what he was drafted to be? He is not worth the draft capital that was expended on him. I think you've got those two things there. Now, Trevor's, if you can't do it with the bar owner from Ohio State, then I don't know who you can do it with.
So I think to your question, I don't think Doug Peterson's necessarily a bad coach, but I think that Super Bowl was – and any Super Bowl is a Super Bowl. I mean, whatever. He got that ring for the day he dies. But it was a little fluky to me. I think they just got hot. And we know the NFL is kind of a get hot.
Going to be, yeah.
It was the same way I was about Eli Manning for a while, but he won two. So when you win two, I can't keep calling you fluky. No. But Doug Peterson didn't win another one. And I had a friend of mine who I work with. He's a Jaguars fan. Poor guy.
Oh.
And he
how does that happen? Yeah.
He told me that in his version of online social media that he follows, because he's on Jaguar, Twitter and stuff. There, a lot of Jaguar fans are really worried that Trevor Lawrence is about to be their version of Matt Stafford, where he's a really good quarterback, went to an awful organization. He's going to get to leave at some point and probably go win a Super Bowl as soon as he goes to a new organization because he's really good. The Jaguars are just the Jaguars and they can't have nice things. And I was like, I could see it because I still think Trevor Lawrence is fine. And I like – you mentioned it. He's gutsy, plays through a lot. He comes back through a lot. And I just – something's weird. I just don't love their coaching there. I don't have an exact reason
I think you run it back to LJ's deal about giving a coach a little time. I think you run it back with these two and see.
That's probably, yeah.
I think you're
and it's what it sounds like. They fired like six assistants and the defensive coordinator. Mostly they fired defensive coaches. And so that tells – Doug Peterson's an offensive guy. So that kind of tells me they're not fired. I mean – I think you'd fire everybody if you were already doing your firing stretch. So it seems like they're running it back with Doug Peterson.
I can hear Prestige Worldwide in my ear right here saying, look, the kid is
this guy
hadn't had an offensive coordinator, the same offensive coordinator back to back. See what happens like when you give him that opportunity.
Maybe you should listen to that voice in your ear.
I could hear that.
I mean, I'll just go ahead and throw out that I've been a Trevor Lawrence hater since his freshman year of college. So, like,
this is true. Yeah. LJ chose very long. He's like, you know what? That guy, I'm going to be a hater.
Yeah. yeah, I've been hating on this guy for a long time. So, my opinion is null, just to throw it out there.
I want to get on head coach, like some of the head coaching vacancies. Oh, real quick, touch on the games on Saturday. I don't think they're going to have a long playoff run because I'm worried about how they're going to play against the Browns. But C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans, job well done in Houston. Yeah. I did not expect them to be 10-7, and they won the division, right? Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Either way, they got into the playoffs.
It's the only way an AFC
Saturday.
South team could make the playoffs is winning the division.
Well, there was a world where if the Jaguars would have won, Jaguars win the division, I think, and Texans get in the playoffs. Either way, that Saturday won got them in the playoffs for sure. Saturday win, but. It's C.J. Stroud's offensive rookie of the year, right? I mean,
you can't even really argue.
There's a couple of good receivers, but not. So they didn't do it.
Puka Nacua would be in the conversation.
Yeah, no doubt. I think so.
And then D'Amico Ryans, coach of the year, or
maybe that guy at Indianapolis.
But I think with D'Amico Ryans beating him and winning the division, I think you might give it over. Shane Steichen, though, has been good. And then there's Stefanski, who you could argue. I mean, losing Nick Chubb and playing with just like quarterback roulette until they found Flacco.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see who else we'd even mention.
Sean Payton.
Darren, Hell, my comment, he got him to the playoffs again.
Darren Russell Wilson in the eye and saying, you're gone. That took a lot of guts.
Also, just a quick aside, we talked about this. I think we did on the pod, but we're talking about receivers. And Puka Nacua broke the record for receiving yards as a rookie. And he beat Bill Grohman from 1960. It's crazy, these stats of like the best receiving game. Like Bill Grohman did it going 14. He did just under. He was 9 yards less than Puka Nacua with 33 less catches. He was getting 20 yards a catch. The dude was, and he had 12 touchdowns.
I wonder how much that has to do with, because I was just thinking the answer is like you would expect it to be like a Reggie Wayne or something. But then Reggie Wayne had a Marvin Harrison his rookie year. So like, yeah. It's because there was one receiver on the football team back in the 60s. You know, maybe that's the answer.
For what it's worth, Bill Grohman went on to play 5 years, and the next year he had 1,100 yards, and then after that he never eclipsed 500 yards. So he was, I don't know, I guess he was more of a just a crazy rookie year. But it just blows my mind when we look at some of these rookie numbers, and we always are like, oh, well, it's a passing league now and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, well, because you got still receivers.
You got like four deep and wide receivers of people that can get, you know, a good 400 yards per season.
Yeah. Just wild. Pops, I just know you probably have an opinion here, and the game doesn't matter because both teams missed the playoffs, but the Saints were playing the Falcons. Arthur Smith got fired after the game, rightfully so, because he stunk all year and then got blown the heck out.
Oh, I didn't
when
the even playoffs know this were, that game
when he was playing the
moment.
Saints. It was 41-17. The Falcons get an interception, or the Saints, excuse me, get an interception. And the guy's running back, it almost looks like the guy running back's not trying to score. Like he's trying to be like, tackle me so we can run out the clock. Then the Saints come out there. They line up in victory formation, but they decide to run the ball. Jameis Winston hands it off to Jamal Williams to get his first touchdown of the season, only touchdown of the season. After the game, Derek Allen and Jameis Winston both said the call was a kneel. That's why we're in victory formation. But Jameis Winston made a team decision. And by team decision, it was a Jameis decision. But to get Jamal Williams, who is one of the favorites in the locker room. He's a leader in the locker room. He's a favorite in every locker room he's been in.
Yeah.
And they wanted to get him a touchdown. Thoughts, Pops? You start us off.
Then just go hand the ball off to him and let him kneel it or something. I think that was a dumbass call by Jameis Winston. I think we may have seen the last of him in the NFL. I thought it was a dumb call. I'm not a fan of Arthur Smith, but I could see why he was pissed off.
I think he was pissed because he knew he was getting fired, but two, I think it's a little Bush League.
It's Bush League. Now, but again, I would go to the adage, if you don't like it, stop him. Yep. You know, but that said,
usually,
I still think it was Bush League.
Usually I'll fall in that line, but when you like,
you're in victory formation.
Offensive players get pissed when they line up in victory formation. The game's over, and the defensive guy comes off and pops the center.
Yeah.
So you come in victory formation. You're basically telling the defense, "Hey, we're just running out this game." And then it'd be one thing if Jameis was like, "No, we're not getting victory. Let's line up in I form. We're giving this ball to Jamal." Okay, at least the defense knows they're actually playing. But to fire off, that's just reckless. That could hurt someone. And
best term you just said was Bush League. It was Bush League.
You know, I think, Tony, sure. Do you have thoughts on it? I mean, where are you at on this? And I'm actually a Jameis Winston. I kind of like Jameis Winston, but I don't like this.
If you can find it on YouTube, you need to see the Jameis Winston interview. It's really
the 3 minute interview or 4 minute good. Interview, this whatever it is, explaining it.
He gets it is so comedy. Lost. It's just funny. You mean the team's decision? You mean the team's decision? Are you saying that was the team? Are you telling the team here? The team's all around.
Is this new Allen Iverson moment?
It was strange.
It's just, it is worth watching.
I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of memes made out of that. I don't mind the touchdown. I do mind that they were in victory formation. If Jameis was going to make that decision, line up an eye and just say, hey, guys. And I like the fact that Jamal Williams got to score. Here's a guy that had 17 touchdowns the year before, hasn't scored yet. Get him his touchdown.
And they basically moved him to like a fullback. Yeah. They didn't have him in the same position that he typically is in. And he's a really good teammate and just does it. So I understand wanting to get him a touchdown.
Yeah, but just don't line up in the victory formation. So others guys like, huh? What? What are we doing? And so it's like, oh, let's get Jamal one. That's fine. You could tell the defense, hey, we're going to get Jamal one. What do they care? They don't. It's not like they have some incentives to say, if you score less than 47, you get a bonus. They don't have anything like that. So that part. Second thing is Atlanta and New Orleans do not like each other. It is a rivalry. They hate each other and have for a long time. So one of the ways the Dirty Bird got started was against the Saints. So they don't like each other. So kind of like, okay, that's going to really set up some cool games next year. And third, Arthur Smith is an asshole. I am so glad he got fired. He needed to be fired. And normally I'm like, you know, everybody deserves a chance, but this guy's an idiot. And to go out there and do what he did, just put the exclamation point on how stupid he is as a head coach. I hope he gets another defensive coordinator role. I want his family to get fed.
You haven't made it clear, though. Did you have Bijan Robinson in fantasy?
I did have Bijan Robinson in fantasy.
LJ, do not even bring up fantasy to him, because then we'll be here for 30 years.
But the thing is, that was so unprofessional. The thing about NFL, you don't do that to the other coach. And because now he looks like an idiot. Because Dennis Allen's like, look, man, I didn't call that. I didn't call it. He can't say anything. For Arthur Smith, that's a reason why he doesn't need to be a head football coach. I'm glad he's fired. He shouldn't have done what he did. If he had a problem with it, if he had a problem with it, he could call Dennis later and say, hey, look, MF, what the hell? That was so uncool. But by then, Dennis would have kind of, look, man, we called the victory formation. I'm sorry.
But even when they met in the middle of the field, I kind of, which I don't think Dennis Allen's a great head coach either, but I kind of felt bad for him knowing what we knew afterward, because even he was like, You're right. I don't like what just happened. If you're Jameis Winston, you just put your coach in a bad spot because you did that victory for him.
Anyway,
Kevin, you remember that time?
And I think if I'm a coach,
you remember the time in Little League football when that guy kept kicking onside kickoffs all game long, and they were up like 35-0 or whatever at the end, and he kicked another onside kickoff. And I had to say a little something to him at the end of the game. Yeah, I did. I said, hey, you son of a bitch. That's Bush League. He didn't like it. But
Tony, not only did they not win a lot, but Arthur Smith used his first-round pick the last 3 years on offensive players who all seem to be really good offensive players and did not utilize him. And he's an offensive coach. So you pretty much sign your own death warrant when that happens. So he's out as head coach. We'll see where the Falcons go from here. But that gets us to a fun conversation where we can look at some of the coaching vacancies. And for this game, I guess before we get to this, I kind of want to look at best and worst job available. How do we want to treat the Patriots job? Because as we're recording this, Bill Belichick is still the head coach there, but there's a lot of murmurs and rumors.
The first question is, does anybody here think that Bill Belichick would leave his position?
What are you
saying?
Retire?
If Kraft ask him, you can resign or get fired.
Well, or do you think like another team can offer him a job and he'd go? Belichick is going to retire a Patriot. That's my guy.
I disagree.
Okay.
I think he wants Shula's record.
He wants Shula's
he's 14
record.
Wins away from Shula's record.
I think he wants Shula's record.
That's like seven that's seasons, two mediocre with seasons.
Well, seasons with the Patriots. But that's 2-7-1 seasons.
Yeah. And so I think Robert Kraft is probably – he seems to be a good owner who likes a massage. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to have enough respect for the game that he knows what Bill Belichick has meant not only to the Patriots but to the NFL. He's probably going to give Bill the choice and say, Bill, look, We've got to make a change. I've got to make a change. Do you want to resign? Do you want me to fire you, or do you want me to trade you? And because I'm assuming that he could go to, and that's how he got to the Patriots, right? He was traded to the Patriots. He could be traded to the Chargers for a 7th-round pick.
But let's just say you're the Chargers, like the Bill Belichick era has been losing seasons until Tom Brady showed up, and then winning seasons, and then Tom Brady leaves, and then losing seasons. Like, I don't know that I'd give up a lot to get Belichick, especially at this age.
The Chargers have a quarterback. Of all those teams,
I don't think Belichick's – so what's interesting to me is I don't think Belichick's a bad coach. I think what we've seen is he's a bad can he set his pride aside – he's lost his GM ability. He's not a good GM anymore.
Hadn't been one for a while.
Yeah.
For a good 6 or 7 years at least. And he's not good at his signings haven't made a whole lot of sense, and his draft picks haven't worked that great.
His assistants also go and fail everywhere they go. So, like, does he actually have a good system, or did he just have good players?
Then Belichick's got to answer the question, because I think if I'm an organization, like say I'm the Chargers, I'm probably, if I'm interested in them, I'm going, hey, we really want you, but we we really like our new GM we're bringing in. He's going to be the GM. You'll have a say, like you'll help us out in the war room for the draft and stuff. But you're right now, it's Patriots. He is the drafter. He makes the call. And so I wonder if Bill Belichick, who is arguably the best coach to ever coach in the NFL, would he be willing to say, okay, I'll do that? Because I do think he wants to win. And I still think a part of him wants to prove, because it's starting to look more and more. And I don't think he was a product of Tom Brady. I think they both helped each other. But it's looking, the argument of this was Brady winning all those and not Belichick does seem
it's
to
very
have
strong.
A little more.
I say if he wants to get 14 wins, he should go to Atlanta. Otherwise, like, go ahead and retire.
I love Atlanta for him.
It's going to be a long time if he goes into the AFC West, because you're going to have to compete against Andy Reid and Mahomes and two other teams that are.
Go to the NFC South where they stink.
Okay, that's fair.
And you go to Atlanta where you got some good roster. You got a good roster there, quarterback away, but he doesn't want to draft a rookie and have a rebuild. He wants to go get a veteran, maybe a Justin Fields. And all of a sudden, you got an interesting little roster down there in Atlanta.
I think Russell Wilson's going to look good in black.
Well, the Vikings, by the way, said the Cousins is back 10,000%. I think the GM said I don't want anybody else under our center than Kirk Cousins.
Okay. I didn't know that.
I think you can book Russell Wilson in the Falcons uniform next year.
So to get to our other. So
fair.
Do we think the Patriots will one way or another part ways then with Belichick?
Yes,
I think they will.
I think they do.
I think it's just hard to imagine the Boston faithful firing Belichick, but I think they ought to, and I think that they will. Yeah.
This is totally just speculation. I haven't read this anywhere, but I have read the stuff that it does seem everyone thinks that there will be a parting of ways. I do think they're basically Belichick's doing some kind of back channel interviews and talking to teams. And then he tells Kraft, I want to go to the Commanders. Then Kraft sees, as a businessman, he goes, okay, what can I get? Like Tony's saying, can I get a fourth round pick? Yeah. You know, can I get something?
Yeah, but you know, Belichick's going to send a text message to the wrong person. He's been known to do this.
Yeah, so. That's true. He can send it to the wrong mic or whatever that was.
And I said, last thing here on this, so the two old guys on the podcast can talk about this. You know, there was never any thought of Tom Landry ever getting fired. Ever. How could you fire Tom Landry? And ownership until Jerry Jones. And Jerry Jones was hated in Dallas for firing him, but he needed to be fired.
His time had kind of passed. I mean, and Tom Landry is one of the most innovative minds in the game back in the day. Don't get me wrong. It was time for a change.
Well, and I think to your point, 15 years ago, Belichick was probably innovating the game incredibly. It's really hard to separate what is everything in that team. Josh McDaniels also is maybe one of the best OCs to ever see. He's a terrible coach, but he's a good OC. You can't.
Well, wherever Belichick goes, OC. I bet Josh McDaniels is his first call for OC, hopefully.
And
or Matt Patricia, one of those
motherfucker. I think McDaniels is a good OC in the same way that Wade Phillips is a good DC, but not a good head coach. Don't hire him for head coach. That'd be stupid.
I agree.
The Broncos did both. I think that we're past Belichick's era for sure.
Hey, so this episode took me a little while to edit because news just kept breaking about different coaches getting moving on from their positions, and I just didn't know how to handle that. So I just wanted to throw in real quick for all of you listeners that as of from the time it took us to record this until the time it took me to edit it, we have had 3 Hall of Fame coaches leave their positions in Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, and Nick Saban in the college football game. So I think how those chips fall are going to change a lot of things that we talk about here in this next section. The Patriots' new head coach has already been decided. That's Gerard Mayo. So I think we talk a lot about how Vrabel probably gets that position. However, it is not going to be. And the rest of it, I mean, any good coach might want to go to Alabama. Any good coach might want to go to Seattle. So those were both pretty unexpected, I think, from our perspectives. So we will see what happens. We did talk in our group text. It looks like, you know, maybe you consider Dan Quinn for that Seattle job. But otherwise, we don't know what we're talking about. And this conversation is, I think, entertaining in hindsight, but certainly not new news. All right, thanks. Back to the podcast.
So, Pops, then we'll say this. The openings are Patriots that we're speculating. Patriots, Panthers, Titans, Falcons, Commanders, Chargers, Raiders. Give me the best spot there. If you're a head coach and they're all teams are wanting you, you choose your favorite out of those and the least desirable job.
Wow. I mean, y'all kind of talked me into Atlanta. I can kind of see why you might want to go to Atlanta in the conferences. I mean, the immediate was the L.A. Chargers because of that,
you
that
got the
roster.
Quarterback.
But you got to look who they're playing. I think
every
that
week,
Tony
yeah.
brought up. Yeah, that's going to be rough. Yeah. So.
And their roster is it's a lot of salary for a lot of aging players.
Yeah, I mean,
besides Herbert. Herbert looks – you
wide
get a 25-year-old.
Is like in their 30s. Yeah. And you're depending on Bosa to carry
Khalil
your defense.
Mack's older. You got Bosa who's injury-prone. Austin Eckler as far as – and running back years, he's old.
And then you have to play Andy Reid and the Chiefs and Mahomes twice a year. The Raiders are.
You do get to play the Raiders and Broncos.
The Raiders and Broncos are allegedly climbing. They might not be. Let's not assume anything.
Allegedly.
Allegedly they're climbing, but.
So Carolina, my favorite, Carolina, my worst.
Okay.
My worst.
Because I was about to say, we disagree there.
And Atlanta probably would be my first choice, actually, I think.
Just on Carolina there. This is from Ben Fox on Twitter. Carolina actually broke a record this year. They're the first team in NFL history to not lead for a single second in the fourth quarter for the entire season. Their two wins both came on field goals as time expired. So they never led for a second in the fourth quarter.
Talent to do that.
The only team, even the winless Lions at one point were winning and then blew the game. So the Panthers' job looks. You got a rookie quarterback and you don't know if he's any good, and you got an owner who we're trying to figure out is that owner any good, and he might be Dan Snyder 2.0. Tony, Pop says Falcons are his number one job. What do you say?
I'd say the Commanders. You got a brand new, owner who
you get the number two overall pick,
brand new owner who, in all accounts, is a good owner. Couldn't be after Snyder. Possibilities of a new
better than what you've had.
It's a well attended franchise, a well known franchise. There have been different NFC East champions for 10-12 straight years now. So you know the division is winnable. They've got a decent amount of talent and probably a new stadium in 2 to 3 years. I like the Commanders for that situation.
I think the Commanders are interesting because, I mean, they do have a big and loyal fan base because, I mean, they still have a good fan base who's dealt with some BS for two decades now. And the only problem is they might be – who knows? They might hire Joe Gibbs again. Just give him another run.
It's very similar. We just talked about Tom Landry. The Commander situation is very similar to when Dallas made a change in the late 80s where they had a run of just terrible teams. Ownership changed. New coach took them different, you know. Let's see. But
did you hear what the who the Commanders hired, Pops?
No,
they hired former Warriors GM Bob Myers as a prominent executive to help out to build the team and find a new coach. He's like the new head of football operations, I believe, or maybe that's what he's trying to help hire. But very interesting, Bob Myers. Is well-renowned as an NBA GM. I mean, he built a very good organization in Golden State. Some would say he got a little lucky with Steph Curry and Klay. But, hey, you got to get a little lucky. But that was just a weird hire. I don't know how many times you see a good GM in the NBA or NFL go to the other league.
Or rather have the president of Ticonderoga.
Lee Corso, bring Lee in. I don't hate your tone. I don't hate that that pick because you do get one or two pick, or you get the number two pick, which maybe you could trade up to one if you really love Caleb Williams there. LJ, what do you got?
Well, so generally I kind of like the Titans. I kind of like the Patriots. If I like believe in myself, that ownership is really good to work under, it seems. And so, you know, if I really think that I can like pick the players and like make the game plan, they seem to have a lot of faith and they seem to give it up freely to somebody that they believe in. So if I could nail that interview, then that might be a good answer, although they don't really have the pieces. So it'd take me a couple of years. I kind of like
the three overall, right? And that are the Patriots picking three, Tom?
You know? Pretty high up. Yeah. Three or four.
So then outside of that, I'd probably pick the future Patriots coach former job in the Tennessee Titans. Because I kind of like who the Titans are. I feel like that's a team that I could like build up. I wouldn't want to fuck with anybody in the AFC West. The Raiders have their coach, I think. And
you would think, but they also Rich Bisacci or whatever. I don't think they make that mistake again.
I think they hire their boy, which is, I think, a good move, to my chagrin. And I don't want to, I also just don't want to be in the AFC West because I just don't want to play against Mahomes every year. So, you know, the Falcons are a good choice, but I'd probably go Titans would probably be my move.
I think I lean Falcons. Some feels a little weird to me with the Titans, and maybe it was a Vrabel thing or maybe it was an owner thing, but them firing Vrabel makes me a little hesitant.
Me too.
If I were a coach, because I just think Vrabel's a really good coach, and I don't.
Well, we live.
I don't know, but we don't know what's going on behind. I mean, Vrabel might be really tough to work with.
He's had two really bad seasons too, right? Like
with not a lot of quarterback play.
Yeah, but I think that's part of it. Is like really hurt there. Who's in charge of that, I guess, is maybe the question. So I'd be in the interview, like asking a lot of questions. I wouldn't take any of the, don't pay me $1 million. I'll ask the tough interview questions.
I will make a prediction right now that Mike Vrabel is the next New England Patriots coach.
Oh yeah. I think that's
so,
yeah,
that seems like a lock, but does that feel like he's burning his former boss?
Bill? He won't do it until Bill's gone. No, really. I don't think so. That conversation is already happening. I can almost guarantee you.
Yeah, they're not. He's not going to sign a contract. Think he
called up Bill Belichick?
I feel pretty certain they'd be talking because they're friends. I mean, it's my understanding that they do talk. And so, yeah.
I would imagine you're right. I would imagine Mike, the first call, just in general, is like, hey, Bill,
Bill texts all the other coaches. I think Vrabel was like literally just in New England last March or something like that, talking to the Patriots fan base, talking about like, you guys don't understand how good you've got it here. Like he wants this job. He has talked very publicly about how much he loves the Patriots organization. I think Vrabel is going to end up there if Belichick's gone. If he's not, then who knows where he is.
Yeah, I think I just like that Falcons job for the same. It's like the opposite reason why you don't want to go to the AFC West, LJ. I don't think Dennis Allen's that great of a coach, so we get to play the Saints. I don't think the Tampa Bay's okay, but they're not just like.
I ain't scared of him, yeah.
Is Baker great? And then Falcons are good, and who am I skipping in that division?
Uh-huh. Carolina, right?
Yeah. Carolina, who we just said is the worst spot.
None of us want to take that job.
I'll be flat honest with you. I would rather take Carolina before I take Atlanta.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like the Atlanta job. New Orleans is the team to beat, and Atlanta can't beat New Orleans. But I'm not a big Arthur Blank fan, and so you don't have
like Blank, all right?
Right? At Carolina, as much as we've been on Young, I mean, you've got a quarterback; he's decent. You don't.
So you're not an Arthur Blake fan, but you're down with Tepper.
I am definitely not down with Tepper. So that is an issue. That's thing. If you can live with that, if Tepper can say, "Look, I screwed up. I won't throw drinks at fans anymore. I won't, you know, I'll stay out of your way." If you could get that out of Tepper, then I think you could. And he's an investments guy. He should know, like, man, I really screwed up the value of this investment I got. I need to stop doing this.
Yeah, true.
So if he does that, I think that's fine. But I don't, Atlanta, they haven't had success since Matt Ryan. And I don't know. I don't know. I get an uneasy feeling about Atlanta.
I got a question about coaching.
Go ahead.
If you're Jim Harbaugh, right, Michigan. Are you taking phone calls?
Oh, I think Jim Harbaugh's gone.
You think he's gone straight up? But he'd go to the NFL, right? He's not going to another college. So which team?
I think he's reading the Pete Carroll playbook and he's like, I wanted to get to Michigan. I wanted to win a championship. Whether they cheated or not, now's the time. He got the ring. He got what he wanted to do. He's dominated Ohio State for 3 years. Now's the perfect time. I still think he wants to coach in the NFL. And I think it was like, I do kind of want to do what I set out to do here at my alma mater. And he did it. And he's
so do you think there. You leave Michigan for any of these six jobs?
Or do you I think wait the Chargers. Oh, I think I kind of think he goes to the Chargers.
He goes back to the Bay Area.
That's what I think. I think so. That's I don't have speculation. Like this is just all
interesting.
Kevin speculation. There's no reporting.
He likes Stanford. He likes San Francisco. Get me out of the cold.
I think he's leaving. And I out of those jobs, I mean the Falcons maybe, but I do think he's making calls because they offered some deal where they were ready to make him like the highest paid coach in college football, but in a part of the deal was you could not interview or talk with NFL program organizations, and he said no, and I think that may or may not have been because he wanted to go this year, but it was just like I'm not that was him saying I'm not done with the NFL.
Well, a non-compete is a thing you got to buy me out of for sure.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah. So I just think he can leave right now and go, well, I've got Michigan in a great spot. I won a ring. I got my program in the right direction when they looked lost and didn't know what they were doing. And I can go do what I want to do.
Well, until Harbaugh showed up, Michigan State was the team that lost to Appalachian State to me.
They were and the team that could never – they like never beat Ohio State.
State they were pathetic until Harbaugh got there. So he's got something to show for it.
Let's take – before – I hear we have a bougie problem from Pops today. So before we get to this bougie problem, let's take a quick look at the playoff slate and pick you some winners. Real quick, interestingly, Tony, what do you think about the Dolphins and Chiefs? They put that on Peacock. So you can't watch that on NBC. You got to have the Peacock app and subscribe or, you know, get a – at least for a month, you got to get a subscription.
That's stupid. You know –
they're getting off the Swiftie fans who are going to have to watch because Taylor's going to be there.
NFL's all about making box, money. Sure. They are certainly making money here.
Hey,
killing it. On a Saturday night, 13 degrees, everybody's going to be like being on Thursday night on Amazon, just
printing off. Yeah, but at least a lot of people already have Amazon Prime. I mean, the people have. I don't know. Peacock actually isn't a terrible streaming service.
Poker Face is a great show.
But it is a good show. So winners. Well, we're about to get down a rabbit hole of just talking streaming services. We could be here another 30 minutes. Winners. I like to go LJ first because sometimes you never know how he's going to pin the tail on the donkey here. So LJ, what do you got? Give us a winner.
I am still on CJ Stroud. Give me the Houston Texans. I'm seeing +2.5.
See, I think you might have someone going against you in that game. Man, you're getting CJ Stroud at home.
Yes, sir.
Going against Flacco. Interesting. Yes, sir. Interesting pick. LJ also just loves a good dog.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I love that plus. I love that plus.
Yeah. Tony, what you got? I saw you make a face when LJ made that pick, so I'm hoping, I'm wondering, are you about to go opposite?
Wide had sent in his pick, and he has Cleveland -2.5. So, okay, let's go. As you will.
Yeah. So you get the parlay, but you have to pick whether you like prestige.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, you have to choose one.
We're limited on games. Right. Otherwise, I'd have a backup on this, but he doesn't have a backup. I honestly, so as much as I like the bigger spread with Packers Cowboys, there is a chance that the Cowboys are hot and can put away the Packers.
I thought for sure you were going Packers.
I'm going Rams. I like the Rams getting 3 at Detroit.
Yeah.
I really like that.
I'm shocked that's 3. I figured they give you the 2.5, so you don't get the 3. You know,
get it now while you can get the 3. Hook. And so
yeah, I'll edit this as fast as I can.
I like the Rams. I like the Rams +3.
And that game is Sunday night on NBC, so you don't have to have a streaming service for that. You can watch on NBC. Pops, what you going with?
I like that Rams win too, but I'm going to take Pittsburgh's getting 10 points at Buffalo. I mean, Josh Allen can serve a couple up. Mike Tomlin's still on the sideline.
That's one of those that's either a 2-point game or a 40-point game for sure.
You think so?
In that game, it's warmer. It's like 24 degrees, but I think there could be a snowstorm come game time.
Not in Buffalo. High wind
warning. That one. Yeah, right. That one could be a mess weather-wise. So
at least –
The more of a mess, the better chance of a tight, closer game.
And Pittsburgh's prepared for that.
The over is 36 in that game. That's amazing to me. And if you look.
That's true.
Yeah, for a playoff game, that's – and it's not because those defenses are amazing because TJ Watt's not
even playing. The over is 36. Yeah. The next closest one is 44, and it's twice with, I think, Cleveland and Texans, and the Dolphins and the Chiefs are 44. Yeah. And the other ones are all over 50. And then that is 36. That's
crazy. I think
I see 43 and a half for Philly and Tampa.
Oh, is it? Okay. Okay.
But yeah, still real close.
For my game this week, I think I'm going to go to the Peacock and give me the Chiefs minus 4. I wish it was 3.
Yeah, 3 would be
but
better.
But Chiefs minus 4. I just think the Dolphins, well, real quick, y'all told me the Dolphins may have signed some people to fix. Yes. What have the Dolphins done?
Let me look it up. But they signed some defensive linemen, two defensive linemen. Sorry.
It wasn't
I had this pulled up.
It wasn't Elkins and Luthringer, was it?
Sadly, no.
Okay,
sadly,
good.
No.
They were good for Ashdown back in the day, but I don't know.
I'd love to see him give it a shot, know. Though. They signed Justin Houston and Bruce Irvin to their active roster and Malik Reed to their practice.
And they're probably going to play them because they are limited. Well,
these are players that have shown value.
Yeah. Long in the tooth, though.
Yeah, but one game. They haven't played this year, right, at all.
Yeah. They're fresh. Yeah,
they're fresh.
Fresh.
Yeah, what have they been doing? They've been
They've been drinking their milk to make sure they don't get osteoporosis, I'm sure.
I hope they.
Okay. I'm still going Chiefs. I think the Chiefs, I just think the Dolphins are kind of, unfortunately, a little bit of a sinking ship, and they're just not healthy, and the Chiefs got
the boys peed in a cup before they signed them.
Man.
They'll get the
and maybe Kelce figures a little. You know, Kelce's going to have Taylor there. Travis wants to play good in front of his girl.
He plays worse in front of his girl.
I'll
just
say this. So sometimes. I have said all year long, Kelce hasn't been like hurt, but he's just been tired. He didn't play at all last week, so he got a rest,
which I thought was odd because he was only like 20 or 30 yards away from 1,000. And he's close to having like one of the most. It's just interesting. 1,000 is usually a mark where you might get him in to have a catch or two, and then
did the extra week give him enough rest to where he can be effective this first week? I don't know that he can be effective the rest of the playoffs, but did it give him enough? Because anyway, I think he's shown his age. Anyway, it's interesting. If Kelce can, if Kelce catches more than 6 balls, the Chiefs win going away.
Well, I think Kelce can.
By the way.
I think I saw Kelce's prop this week, Tony, is 5.5 catches. So if you think the Chiefs are going to win, go ahead and hit over 5.5, according to Uncle Tony, for Kelce catches. Pops, we don't, as a pod, 22. You know, we don't have any bougie problems. We're good. We got NFL playoffs happening this weekend. But I hear you may have had a bougie problem come up in your life sometime in the last couple weeks.
Well, so for Christmas, I got a Yeti cup.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And
you love a good Yeti cup.
No, I love a good Yeti cup, but here's the issue with this. It's an 8-ounce Yeti cup.
Oh, it is a little small.
What the hell are you going to drink long enough to need to keep hot or cool in an 8-ounce cup?
Like an espresso, maybe.
Maybe an espresso. That's it. What the hell does Yeti make an 8-ounce freaking throw a cup for? Why would you do it?
I wish the listener could see Uncle Tony's face. It's just, he's perplexed. A connoisseur of drinks is like, I don't even know why I would need an 8-ounce glass.
I've looked up and you can, you know, some people say a cup of coffee is 6 ounces. Well, I mean, I'm not drinking a 6-ounce cup of coffee. That doesn't even get me to the bathroom. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. He's absolutely right. Except I do have a purpose for that, and I'll tell you in a second. Here's my bougie problem.
Right. It's like a little Dixie cup. So
why? It's one of those like rinse your mouth after you brush your teeth cups.
And they make a 4-ounce cup, by the way. They truly make a Dixie cup Yeti cup. Yes.
I don't know what you
use purpose?
That for. I mean, next we're going to have a Yeti shot.
I don't know what you use that for. But along Lifford's lines, that's right. So we get these Dixie to-go cups for coffee, right? And so we got a Keurig and you get 6, 8, 10, 12 ounces. I like 12 ounces. I want the most out of this little Keurig thing that I paid for. So the Dixie cup says 12 ounces. But you know what? If you put 12 ounces in a 12-ounce Dixie cup, you know what happens? The coffee gets all the way up to the top. You put the lid on it. Poosh, you got coffee everywhere. Don't be telling me that it's a 12-ounce cup if I can't put 12 ounces of coffee.
Well, technically it is filling.
It sounds like maybe the issue is you not can't filling? Put the lid on very carefully.
Or Uncle Tony needs a 13-ounce Dixie cup.
You need about a 14 ounce because you need a little room up top, man. You need.
Faye Ellen had it right. You can get 12 ounces of Faye Ellen coffee in a 12 ounce Faye Ellen cup. I can tell you that right now.
Shout out Miss Faye Ellen.
But you can't do it with a Dixie cup. Anyway.
Those cups with that lip print, that's it. That's what's up.
No, those were pretty cool. I've still got some of those. Yeah.
Speaking of drinks, Uncle Tony, did we have an old fashioned? What were we drinking on over there? What's Uncle Tony drinking? This is the. I thought I saw an orange peel, maybe.
I think that you can't see in the back of that fantasy football ring. And I got
it turns into your ring.
This is why Yeti, why Yeti would make an 8 ounce cup is for this whiskey. I got a, as a.
Pops, what a convenience.
This is here we go. I'm so glad I brought this up.
One ice cube and a double shot of Derringer Rabbit Hole bourbon whiskey. So Rabbit Hole is a bourbon whiskey that I haven't had tried that brand before, but it's I don't say it's popular, but it is a good brand, and you can see it out there. This is the Derringer line, and it's finished in sherry casks, and you don't see bourbon whiskey finished in sherry. To be bourbon, it's got to be 51% or greater of corn mash, but they finish this in sherry cask, and it is really smooth. Shout out to Nate. Thank you very much. It was a very nice Christmas gift, and Derringer Rabbit Hole whiskey. It is very nice, and I bet you it would work good with one ice cube in an 8 ounce Yeti cup.
That might end up being your whiskey on the rocks.
There you go. Send me that Yeti cup before I get down a Little River. Lip, I'll be drinking this Derringer all day long.
I'm surprised. You know, I think Yeti should sponsor us because, I mean, it's hard to find Lip without either a Yeti cup or a Yeti cooler somewhere around him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Typically.
Yeti Howler.
And now I have an 8 ounce Yeti cup. So.
Hey, gang. What are you going to put Uncle Tony's drink in? I can tell you what you put it in. That 8 ounce Yeti cup. It's wonderful. It holds it hot. It holds it cold. Whether it's hot buttered rum or it's a cold Derringer.
I think you can use this that still 8 ounce needs Yeti. Work. We should probably offline this. I don't think that's it. That's not quite it.
You don't want that to be our pitch to Yeti?
I think we should offline this for a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
we should get Andrew to do it in one of his Southern accents or something.
All right, I think that does it. Did we get everything, or was there anything
else? Well, I wanted to say one quick thing. I was ready to make Michael Penix Jr. be the number one pick in the draft, and he
not so
really,
fast, my friends.
He couldn't be more Bronco.
He couldn't be more Bronco than, I mean, overthrowing receivers. I mean, bless his heart, I like the kid, but boy, he had a
he was
rough
in
game
over his
last
head last
night.
It was for sure.
Yeah, it looked like it.
Just like the ball from the receiver.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Michigan just looked like they were a little too much there for Washington.
Michigan looked good last night. Yeah,
Michigan looked good. They looked like the best team in the country.
No doubt.
And that's why Jim Harbaugh is going to give the deuces to Big Blue. It is insane. Real quick, it's insane how much the Harbaughs all look alike. There are some strong genes because they look just like their dad. Jim and John could be twins. I don't think they are, right?
They're just brothers. They're like, they should look as like
but
as
they look
do.
Very much alike. You can tell the difference, but they look very alike. But then when Jim was hugging his dad, I'm like, oh, my goodness. Those are like they look so much alike. It is crazy.
The seed is strong.
Some strong genes in the Harbaugh family.
In the words of Game of Thrones.
The seed is strong.
All right. I think we need to wrap up for anywhere we go anywhere else. I will catch you guys next week to break down. We'll break down Super Wild Card Weekend, as the NFL calls it, and look ahead to the divisional round. So hopefully, Cowboys are still playing, boys.
Peace. I'm rooting hard, Bills. I want the Bills to win. I'm a Bills boy.
Babe, you're a part of. Yeah, you're an honorary.
That's who I'm rooting for. I don't buy him, but I believe. I hope.
Well, the reasons we mentioned earlier, Josh Allen's going to give away a game here in the next three weeks. So that's the
only. And it only takes one to go sit on your couch.
I'm just telling you, man.
Right next to Bruce Irvin.
It always happens. No, they find a way, but I don't know how the Ravens lose. It's just set up for them really nice right now.
And the Niners. I mean, these are those number one seeds are, I think, really.
I think Brock Purdy showed some weakness. If you can get him tilted, I think you can knock him out of that rhythm. that's the way you need the 49ers. Just get him out of his rhythm. I think you
can
do that.
We should. We didn't even get to it, but the Eagles beat the Bucs, right?
I don't know that they did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hell, they had one. What?
I don't know.
They've lost. We also, 2 weeks ago, we said, well, they finished with Giants, Cardinals, Giants. They're winning those three. Did they lose all three, or they went 1-2?
1-2.
They went 1-2.
Here's the problem they've got. They can't stop a pass. And
that's not the only problem. They can't do a lot. They're bad.
The worst defense in the league against the pass. And what is Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Rashad White are all in the top 20 at their position for pass catching. And I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, unless they beat them 50-45, I don't know how they beat the Buccaneers at Tampa Bay.
Yeah, if anyone could lose to the Bucs in the NFC, it's the Eagles somehow. I don't understand.
Well, crazy. And it's interesting. I was reading a little about why maybe their pass defense wasn't as bad is because their pass rush was doing a lot better at the beginning of the year. And the reason a lot of people are saying Jalen Carter is falling off a little bit is him and Jordan Davis both at Georgia. They're just loaded up front, so they play like 50% of the snaps in the game. So every snap, they are just hair on fire and playing awesome. And all of a sudden, the Eagles are like, "Hey, Jalen, we need you every single snap for 18 weeks now," which is not what it's like in college. And so it just takes a little time for the body to get used to that. Because he was the first 8 or so weeks, they were like, "This is Aaron Donald 2.0.
Tampa Bay is worst in the league at running the football. They have the worst yards per carry, I believe. So they don't need to run the football to win ball games. Now they're not very good defensively either.
Baker is a little.
Yeah, he was. So it's an interesting ball game. I'm surprised that the Tampa Bay is +2.5.